You have to do it, Gavin. Sing it.
That was so funny. Okay.
Welcome back to the Gavin with Liam podcast.
Can you scream again? That was really funny. Oh my god. It's been such a long week.
Guys, welcome back.
Welcome back to the Gavin with Liam.
Oh man.
Peter Pod. Wow. How's your week been going?
This week has been insane. I saw Harry Potter.
Oh yeah.
The Cursed Child.
Do you wanna talk about that now or wait until later?
Why don't we go over your week and then we'll get into it.
I see. Okay.
I saw that. I started tech week for Cradle Will Rock at Wagner. Whoa. Spot Operator.
Spot Super
fun. It's a 90-minute show.
Oh hell yes.
Yeah.
That's the thing that sucks is like doing tech assignments. You could be like, I don't know, help running lights for like for Into the Woods.
I was an usher for Into the Woods, and I just watched the show 11 times.
Like, it could be a 3-hour-long show, or you could be doing like state, like you could be like a like deck crew for like a 90-minute show, and it's
yeah. I mean, I have 8 cues, I think, in the whole show.
Really?
I mean, yeah,
it's kind of nice.
After there's it's a show with 10 scenes, and after scene 8, I don't do anything. So
that's cool.
It's pretty sweet, yeah. And it's a good show. It's crazy. Like they changed the whole prologue of the show. Do you know the story that kind of goes along with it?
No.
All right.
Maybe.
I'll go super fast.
Okay.
Peak Depression. They wanted to do like bring back some arts stuff, but there was no money for it. So the government made like government funded and subsidized theater projects. And it was going well for a little while. And all of a sudden, these guys wanted to write this show. And it was, I can't remember the names now. Mark Blitstein wrote the show and got it like fully ready. Full cast, full orchestra, 26-piece orchestra. Like everything was ready to go. And then it's like a pro-union, anti-government, partially, like it, but it's very pro-union. And at the time in 1915 or whatever, it's about like 1915 or 16 is when the show takes place. And when they were writing it in the 20s or 30s, peak depression, that was a big hot button issue. Like the government was not really big fans of pro-union stuff. So the day of their opening night, they got the show canceled. The government came, locked the theater. They're like, this is not going to happen. And so they moved it. And the Actors Equity put out a statement saying, like, no actors will be allowed to perform on a stage if they haven't been paid for 3 weeks of rehearsal and a guaranteed 2 weeks of performances. And the show hadn't made any money yet, so they couldn't pay that. So they moved it up 23 blocks to some random theater. And they like it was totally improvised. It was just Mark Blitstein, the composer, on the stage with the piano. He would turn around and go, scene one, Steel Town, USA, like set the scene like that and start playing. And he sang it all by himself. And then in the opening, one of the cast members from the audience started singing her number. And then they did the whole show with the full cast in different spots in the theater because the contract said they couldn't perform it on the stage. So they did it like in the audience, and it was really, really cool. It's like a pretty well-known story that goes along with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the prologue is just them doing the breakdown, and through the whole show, it's done with just a piano, and the music director who's playing the piano turns around before every scene and introduces it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the music director is mic'd and turns around and goes, scene two, Night Court. And then they do the scene, and it's super cool. It's really exciting for them. I'm super excited to see what else they do with it with full
costumes
and stuff.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, but how is Bye Bye Birdie going?
Oh, I have you know 3 songs, and then outside of that, I'm not on stage. And
yeah,
I have the least amount of stage time. I'm this might not be true. I have the least amount of stage time in the cast, and it's awesome. It's like
you have the princess track.
Oh my God, it's the best. I don't come on until scene 8. Sing a song, leave. Come back on, sing another song, intermission. It's a few scenes, song, and then I'm just done. And sweet. I have like 5 lines total. Like when I'm not singing, I don't talk. Because that's kind of his whole character, is he's just kind of like a puppet. And it's so fun. It's been great. I mean, I haven't had to be at rehearsal that much because I learned all my music in like 2 days. And so then everything else I'm not in. But it's great. We have 2 little guys coming in who are playing Randolph. They're both 11. Just the son in the show.
That's
which
cool.
is pretty cool. But yeah, it's been good. But last night I had the best night of my life.
I saw you posted. What did you do, Gavin?
Oh my God. So I have loved Ben Platt for a really long time, for about 4 years now. When Sing to Me Instead came out, I was like a sophomore in high school. And I remember you showed me and you're like, oh, do you know that Ben Platt, the guy from Dear Evan Hansen, has music? And I was like, no. And then I listened to it and I was like, oh, I really like this. And then I really liked it. And he's just been like my top artist now for years. And like, I just love everything that he does. I think he's like one of the most talented singers that ever. And yesterday I had VIP tickets to his concert in Boston last night. And so I got to go there early. I got to they fed us and stuff. And then got to watch the concert. I was in the 6th row. It was so cool. He is so good. And just getting to see how effortless everything was for him on stage last night is just, it's incredible. And then after the show, I got to go and meet him backstage, which was really, really cool. I just got to tell him how much he means to me and everything. And he was just so receptive and just genuinely loved listening to what I had to say. And it was awesome. It was really just to be able to tell him that was life changing. And it means a lot to me that I got to do that. And he really was thank you so much for that. And you know, he gets told stuff like that all the time, but he really made me feel as though he acknowledged what I had to say and appreciated it. And it was just so overwhelming. It was really meaningful to me. It was awesome.
Well, that's awesome, man.
It was awesome. Oh. Yeah, that was just it was just such I really needed that. It was one of the coolest things to happen to me in a long time.
Love a little wholesome podcast moment.
That was, I love, everyone who knows me knows that I love Ben Platt much. So to get to actually meet him and be you are such an inspiration, and for him to be thank you so much. I needed that. But anyways, aside from my endeavors with my own idols, let's get into the podcast. We're about 9 minutes in here and we have yet Jeez. To start talking. What a pod it's gonna be. I mean, it was kind of a boring week, but I got some pretty cool things that don't really have to do with our typical Broadway news that I found out on the internets. So there's just little casting news sprinkled into this week's kind of stuff that just kind of flies under the radar. Into the Woods picked up a new Jack's mom. She's the same person, Anne Harada, who did it at Encores.
Oh, cool.
Sick. She's going to be coming back. I think that's a limited engagement. I didn't really look more into that for more than 10 seconds. Merrily announced more casting, the Daniel Radcliffe production of Merrily, which is cool. Love that. If you are,
I
want to
see that show so bad.
Yeah, oh. I know. Me too. And then the Merrily movie that's being filmed speaking of Ben Platt, over the next 30 years. For those that don't know, Merrily is going to be filmed. It's when characters grow up in the show, they're going to actually grow up in real life. They're going to film it over the next 20, 30 years of these actors' lives, which is so risky. If anything happens to these people, that isn't it's just so what if someone dies? Oh, well then great. There goes, I don't really know what you would do. It's, you can't kill someone in a show that's already written. you can't.
And also,
like,
the show happens in reverse. So,
right.
Like, they've filmed the end, mm-hmm. and, you know, probably the first quarter of the show at this point. They've been filming they started filming 5 years ago.
Was it really? I thought it was like 2 years ago or like last year.
No. This was pre-COVID. This was pre-COVID. This was during his run in Evan Hansen, I think.
Because the Merrily movie was just kind of, everyone was like, excuse me, like, oh, sick. And then they're just going to forget about it. And then they're going to film again. And they'll be like, oh, sick. And then they're going to forget about it. And then it's going to come out. And they'll be like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Because I don't really have examples of things that are filmed like this, like over real lifetime.
Yeah. It's so interesting that they're doing like this, because it's like the true opposite of of like how it works in
the
show.
Right. So you
have
to film
meet
them
at the very end, and they're starting technically at the very beginning of the story, but it's also the end of the show. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for that. That'll be fun.
It's a great show too.
Right. You can't really get like excited for that because it's in, you know, I don't even know when.
15, 20 years.
Exactly. The Broadway revival of the play Top Dog Underdog is beginning previews on September 27th. Ooh, that was 3 days ago. Top Dog Underdog started previews 3 days ago at the Golden Theater. In its OG run back in 2002, at the 2002 Tonys, the play was nominated for Best Play and won the 2002 Pulitzer for Drama, which makes the writer, Susan Laurie Parks, the first Black woman to win the award, which is pretty sick.
That's awesome.
So if you need a play to go see Top Dog Underdog.
Yeah, I've seen it on TDF. I might try to get there. I don't know how many more shows I can go to with my schedule now. But
yeah, right.
I want to see one more play this semester. I'm seeing Beetlejuice tomorrow. And so that will bring it up to 4 musicals that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to catch a play before.
Yeah, the German play that I didn't know how to pronounce last week, Leopoldstadt, I've heard pretty good things about. So
I've heard very good things about that play. That's the play that I've
heard like the biggest rumblings. I'll get into the grosses later, but none of the plays this week had more than 7. So none of them played a full 8 this week. But right now for plays, you got 1776, Cost of Living, Death of a Salesman. 1776 isn't a play.
No.
Oh, thanks for fact checking me.
Sit down, John.
Oh. Wait, why did I think 1776 was a play? Really?
Because when it's not done like this, it's very boring.
Oh.
When it's not done in the way that they're doing it, which is like really amazing and like really groundbreaking, it's a really boring show.
Wait, I need to look this up. Wait, how did I?
Unless I'm wrong, but I'm
No,
almost...
you're right. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes. What
were
am I thinking
of? Like,
of?
POTUS?
No.
There aren't very many.
I literally looked it up government. And just got to look at the
it's also just a small scale show. Like
it's just a show.
It
I've never cared
like
about
a play and how they're advertising it. But it's a musical.
It is a musical, you're right. And I've seen all sorts of pictures about it and stuff. Like it's a big deal because they're doing such a good job with it right now.
Yeah.
But I knew that. But none of the plays right now have played a full 8. So the real plays, Cost of Living, Death of a Salesman, Leopoldstadt, and The Piano Lesson, all played 7 or 6 performances.
And my roommate is seeing The Piano Lesson, I think, a Tuesday? What does that calendar say? Yeah, Thursday.
We'll have to get a review.
I will get you that review with
please.
Yeah.
Always but come. Speaking of shows you've seen, Harry Potter had a ton of new cast members join on November 15th, with 16 of those new cast members are going to be making their Broadway debut.
Wow.
Like
that's like a full cast top to bottom.
16 of them are making their Broadway debut on with that November
15th. How many
15th?
New people were Dumb. Cast if 16 are Broadway debuts?
I don't know. All I saw in this article, the article didn't really, I'm referencing a Playbill article, but it didn't like give a ton of, the title, it's a Logan Kowalblock article, our friend. The title is 16 new company members set Broadway debuts in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Like crazy. It doesn't say It just says has revealed new company members set to join the production beginning November 15th. It just says 16 of the joining cast are making their debuts.
Jeez.
Like crazy.
Based off of everything I saw, those two guys who are playing Scorpius and Albus are filling some pretty big shoes. Like it's a daunting part to play. And you need to be able to play young. You meet them in the show when they're 11.
Really?
And like, I believed it. I looked at the people afterward and they're like grown men. They're 20. Full on adults.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I believed you there.
Wow. That's awesome.
You know, the mannerisms they're doing, the everything that they're doing. It's really impressive.
So how was the show? Harry Potter isn't really like the show that theater kids, at least in my experience, are like obsessed with.
It's the ultimate tourist show. Like,
oh really?
There's a barcode on the front of the seat and you can order popcorn during the show.
I remember you saying that. Did you see that happening?
No. So I think I had heard that wrong. They come around at intermission.
Oh, okay. And I see that.
Like I didn't see anyone get anything during the show, but you could order it during the show.
Mm-hmm. Which you're is allowed to be on your phone and stuff. That's what? Weird. I see. Yeah. It's just a tourist show. Were there a lot of kids there?
There were a lot of kids and there were a lot of people who came late. 7:45.
Oh my god.
The show started at 7. What are you doing?
Oh my gosh.
It's a 3.5 hour long experience. Missing the first 40. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, buddy. It's
hold
long.
On.
Yep.
Hold on. You say 3:45.
Three and a half, 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
But it used to be two full shows. You used to see the first half as a matinee.
Oh my.
And the second half in the evening.
Wait, are the tickets really expensive? I knew this. I knew that it was long.
It's the biggest bang for your buck on Broadway.
So is it two acts?
Yeah, it's two acts. It's two acts. The first act
one is an
act
hour
one is an
45
hour
45.
Minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's a 20 minute intermission. And then act two is another hour 45.
Damn.
It was good. It was.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know, an hour and a half. And then they were both hour and a half.
That's surprising to me that they're trying to market that as a really commercially touristy show. And then you expect tourists to sit down for 3.5 hours
to watch a play. But it didn't feel like a play. It felt very musical. It felt very dynamic. It felt really, you know, it was a very interesting show to watch. All of the magic elements were incredible. There were some moments they ask you to not talk about them in specifics. So if you have seen the show, big things that you would know that amazed me, swimming, that moment amazed me. Dementors, that moment amazed me. Any magic moment in the show amazed me.
That's awesome.
Every single one.
That's so cool.
The only thing I missed from the show was the music from the original movies, which they were never going to get because it's licensed now. Mm-hmm. But when everything happened, it wasn't a part of the director's vision to have like it would have been cool.
Yeah.
But they made the whole show without that.
Yeah.
And they had music. They had music made and licensed for the purpose that it served. So I get why they didn't.
Oh.
And then some of the dialogue was felt like I was reading a Wattpad story. like it's not the best. Like when the manuscript came out years ago, everyone was like, this is hot garbage. I hope it's never produced.
Mm-hmm.
And the script isn't changed that much. Like, the script is not the thing that people are seeing this for. It's the spectacle.
Absolutely.
And it's an amazing spectacle. But it's not a very well-written show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
So if you want to have the most bang for your buck Broadway experience, go see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
That's sick.
It's a good story, too. Mm-hmm. It is a good story. Just some of the lines are like, but why, Harry?
Yeah, it's just super meh. That's
it's like fan fiction.
I've been listening to, just trying to find, trying to find songs to sing for class and stuff. I was looking at Good Kid from The Lightning Thief and that show is so bad. At least the music is.
Jeez, man.
Because I found this one song and I found good kid. And I was like, oh, this song's like fun and like cool and like slaps. It's pop rock. And it's like, hell yeah. Like there's an electric guitar behind you and that's fun. But then I was like, all right, so I want to sing this. Let me listen to the rest of the show. Holy, oh my God. From the amount of hype that I've heard about this show, where it's like every high school kid and like middle school kid is like, this show's awesome. It is really cringy. Like,
yeah,
the guy who played Percy, Chris McCarroll, who now has like a TikTok living, his character is just so like, I hate you. And so the whole show, I think, is supposed to market to like younger kids because of how cheesy it is. And because of how like that's his whole like in the story. Spoilers for Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. His dad, like, he doesn't know who his dad is, and his dad has left, and he's like, I hate him so much. And like everyone is like, he's like gets kicked out of all these schools because he's so bad. And then his mom dies and he's like, no. And he's like, everything sucks. But every single song he sings is the same, where he's just like, I hate you guys. And he like kind of finds like some friends who like are kind of like him and stuff. But it's just, it's, he goes on this adventure and it's whatever. It's meant to be the kids who read the book, who love the book, watch the musical. And then they're like, oh, cool. but that one song is great. And seeing the, listening to the rest of the show, I'm like, oh, this song, it kind of diminishes the power of the song because all of the like cool things in the song already get used in the rest of the score. So it's just like, oh, I guess you've already done that. You're just, it's, I don't know. Anyways, I think people who listen to that would agree with me, but that was very off topic. I just needed to get that out.
That's
there.
The that's whole thing with Percy Jackson in general. It's like the books are there and are loved, but Percy Jackson fans love to hate an adaptation of their favorite thing that's ever existed.
For sure. I never read the book. I never was, you know, like that. Back to your regular scheduled Gavin with Liam.
Except I've heard good things about the TV series coming out. Okay.
So this was cool. I wish that this news came out before 3 days ago so we could have talked about it on here. This event has already passed, but I wanted to mention it because it was cool. MJ streamed their opening number of Beat It on TikTok last night. And this was in partnership with TikTok. They did this like whole thing where they like took you backstage and like answered questions and stuff. And then it like ended with them. I don't know how it went or like exactly what happened, but I assume they like propped up the camera and like let you watch.
There's some guy in the first row, like
their number.
You're doing great up there, guys.
Like, I have no idea. So this was last night on September 29th. Excuse me, but they announced it not long before. So like I didn't know. I mean, I was at the concert last night anyways. But really cool. It said there was Q&As. It said you could go behind the scenes, participate with members of the cast. Miles Frost was on last night. TikTok will then give you a chance to get 2 tickets to the show. I don't know. I'd be very interested if someone tuned in for this. I would be very interested to see how that went, but I think that's awesome. Like, so cool. It's just, we're going to get right after we're done with the Broadway news. I have a really, really cool clip that I want to play of just Broadway shows using social media to the just in the best way and in the smartest way and just so genius. I don't know. Like, you like, yeah, like if there's clips of Beat It already out there, they did that. Isn't that where they did the Tonys? Yeah.
They did like the.
Or
yeah,
did they not?
Yeah.
Was it Beat It?
I think so.
I think it was.
Yeah.
So like, but anyways, you can find clips of Beat It out there on YouTube anyways. So it's not like they're showing you stuff that you can only get in the theater, but that's so cool. I love that. Speaking of, I'll just jump to this. According to Margaret Hall of Playbill, Beetlejuice is going to have new special Halloween surprises for every day of October. So among this limited edition playbills, Halloween cocktails, weekly costume contests, and swag giveaways. But there's like much more than just this.
I'm going on the first day of it. Let's go.
Oh, that's right. You're going.
I'm going tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
I was so I like had to go through the song in my head. I was like, no, are there 31 days in September? God
yeah, wait,
damn it.
Let me look. Let me look.
No, it's tomorrow, October 1st.
Yeah, October 1st. Oh, wait. So, oh, okay. This is sick. Wait, let me just pull up the article of this because this is cool. This like was just, this was the most recent article that
I didn't even
find.
Know about this, Gavin. This wasn't even on my radar.
This got put out today. This article did. The ghost with the most is celebrating his favorite holiday in style one last time. Yeah, among the limited edition Halloween themed playbills, which will be handed out to theater goers all month. You can also order them online at the playbill store. Cool. But there's like so much going on. Like Beetlejuice is going all in on October. You can read the whole article, which includes other things, but more examples. The Drama Bookshop is serving Girl Scout cookie drink inspired Beetlejuice whatevers for the month. Okay. Times Square Tattoo is doing Beetlejuice temp tattoos. Hell yeah. My question is, was Beetlejuice already planning on doing this before they announced their closing date? Or is this just like them trying to make as much money as they can before the show closes?
No, I'd assume they were already doing it. I don't know if they would announce something new.
I would too. I would assume this was already in place because this is a lot of planning. You know, you needed to design new playbills. You need to get special drinks ready to go for the bars at the theater.
And that doesn't happen overnight.
And make merch. Yeah, that's true. I guess. Yeah, this it's just very cool that they're still doing this. And you get to go. I want to see what we'll post what the playbills look like tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll post it tomorrow.
That's so cool. Yeah, post it to the
Gavin with Liam Instagram account at Gavin with Liam podcast.
It's just at Gavin with Liam.
Is it at Gavin with Liam?
Yeah.
Oh, we're so cool like that. We don't even need podcast. At Gavin exactly. with Liam on IG. Yeah.
The weekly. No, never mind. Not yet.
We'll find a theater name.
Theater guys?
Theater guys? Who knows? A few more little things. Not a few more, a lot more. I said that this was a boring week, but so far we've had some cool things. It's
yeah,
just not like
a boring week. Do you know what dropped today? I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet, Gavin.
I'm going in chronological order.
Okay, fine. Keep talking, because I want to talk about this.
So
I hate my mom.
Dad, why'd you have to leave me, Mom? Why'd you have to die?
It's so evil.
No!
Keep talking.
Okay. Few things. The reviews of Leah and Funny Girl are finally in, as you remember.
Whatever. Fuck
I was
you.
Saying
She's good.
They were waiting. No, they're great. They're all great.
I know.
We knew that would happen. Everyone's saying, all of them are saying she has saved the show. Great. Okay. We're at it. The Into the Woods 2022 Broadway Revival cast album is out. I will play a snippet for you now.
Once upon a time.
That's all you get.
Yeah, that's all we can do. I was
hell
really
yeah.
about what you were going to do.
Hell yeah.
A clip to play, and then you did that. So
oh, no, it's
you.
Not that. It's a different one.
Okay, good.
I still have a clip to play.
Have you listened to Hello, Little Girl?
I am on Hello, Little Girl right now.
Gavin Creel's voice
or maybe
was
I...
made for the
oh,
studio.
Oh, God.
Oh, he's, my God.
He's so good. Like,
he's so
oh, no,
good. But then Joshua Henry, too, that. In Agony. It's so good.
His voice is so dynamic.
His voice is so rich and so colorful.
Because he has that, like, high in a tower and can get that, like, very baritone, like,
very princely
sound.
He sounds like a prince.
Princely sound. I've heard he's the best part of the show. But then can flip it around and go open for Diana Ross in concert and be like, ah! And he is just... Oh, he's so talented. He is so diverse in his capabilities. And I really love Josh Henry. Really, really. And, yeah. And his follow him on social media. He does such great like content of just inspiring people and spreading positivity. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. But this cast album
one of my
great.
Favorite parts of the show is Joshua
yeah.
Henry.
I've been listening through it right now. I think I'm on. I finished Steps of the Palace. I think I just finished Act One.
Sarah Bareilles, I have never loved her voice, but this part is really perfect for her.
I know.
Like, she's so like maternal in her vocal quality. It's so comforting. It's perfect.
And it's funny because Brian D'Arcy James's voice is just so ingrained in my mind as like other characters.
Shrek.
As Shrek mostly, but like, you know him from Shrek and Something Rotten.
He had one line where it was like, back in the woods or something. And I was like, back in the woods, we're going back to the swamp. I was like, I just heard Shrek. It was so good.
It's just
He's
so
such
funny.
A goofball. He's such a nerd. I love him. Like,
absolutely.
Like when in an audio sense, it's like, how did Brian D'Arcy James pull Sarah Bareilles? Like, how did the baker?
I know.
As Brian D'Arcy James pull Sarah Bareilles?
Absolutely.
How did this happen?
I agree. But Gavin Creel is just so good as Cinderella's prince and as the wolf.
Stop putting a spell on my house. Get out of my house, you witch. Get off my swamp.
When you think about it, the Shrek and Into the Woods are the same. Maybe that's the title of today's episode.
Can you imagine if there
Shrek
was a
and Into the Woods are the same
Shrek
show?
And Into the Woods?
No, Shrek and Into the Woods crossover episode. That's our title today.
God, it's so good.
But
then, so
you
good.
Know, when you think about it, the baker's plots are kind of similar. It's like, oh, this thing's coming and destroying my life. Like, go away. And then he's just like, well, I live with it now.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right, that's all I had to say. It's so good. Everyone listen to it. It's so good.
I got
children will listen.
I know.
Just wait.
Know.
Just wait until you get there, Gavin. It's so good.
It's like I kind of skipped around because I listened to the like video recordings that they posted.
Mm-hmm.
What did I think was really good? Oh, Cole Thompson. Give a second for Cole Thompson as Jack.
Is he Jack? Yeah.
He's so good. He's so good.
He's got one of those voices that makes everything sound about an octave and a half higher than it is.
Oh, I know.
So I hate him in a jealousy way.
Because he makes everything sound like,
with his
voice. Wow. Like you hear Giants in the Sky and it's just like, oh, wow. Like that's hard.
That's
hard.
Obviously the song is hard, but like.
He got it. He's got it. I want to see this show so bad. I want to see this show.
Gavin,
so
you've been holding this clip over my head. You told me that since I haven't seen it, I'm going to like it. Just play
it. I know.
Introduce it and tell me what is going on.
No, it's the last thing I want to say. Anyways, this is not an Into the Woods thing. The full rights to the Mean Girls High School version are now available for licensing for the United States and Canada. Hell yeah, that's according to Broadway World. Basically, this means...
We get
every 16-year-old
high
schooler is like, yes! Whoa! Whoa! That's not...
Oh, there's
going to
be so many
girls.
Bad productions of Mean Girls.
I know. Well, so
give me Illegally Mean Girls.
Illegally Girls. You get Nice Guys. So basically what you're going to get...
That was a good one, Gavin. That was a good one.
Hey, thanks. You'll get sent the full script, but then you'll get sent a full other script of approved changes. So you're getting Mean Girls, but then the high school version is basically like the expansion pack. And the expansion pack
that cuts
no
things.
Swears and sex and drugs and violence and alcohol, I assume. All
because honestly,
things.
Sexy at a high school, don't really need to see it.
I don't know. I also don't know if the rights to Mean Girls were out anyways.
Yeah.
Like they've regionally premiered and all of that. And now like Mean Girls is not going to be produced in my opinion at places other than high schools.
Yeah, probably not.
Like this is where the show will live is in.
Yeah.
The class. Also, if you're doing, I don't know. I don't know what school is going to approve this show, even with all the changes. It's like doing Heather's. It's like, excuse me.
Yeah, it would be really something like an outside educational program.
Yeah.
Like for us, it's called the Seacoast Rep. Like that's where we did shows that were too dark for high school but still required young people.
I see. I guess it'll be at your outside private theater company.
Yeah.
That's cool though.
Well, that's interesting. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Cool. Mean Girls?
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, two things and then this clip. There's a Hocus Pocus musical adaptation in the works. Lit. The Les Mis tour is about to hit the road. Lit. Okay. Last but not
Baz
least.
Baz Luhrmann teased an Elvis stage production.
Lit. Oh, yeah, that too. That like was very breaking news.
Borg, don't care about that. That was an hour and a half ago.
Anyways, the Phantom of the Opera social media, at Phantom Opera on Instagram, posted this clip. I'm going to play the audio because there's no video.
I haven't heard it. This is big suspense, Gavin. I can't hear anything.
What's up?
I can't hear it.
Oh, what? No. Oh, wait, that was me previewing it. Oh, was it just silence?
That was just silence.
Sorry. I think this should work now.
Come on, buddy. There we go.
It's so awkward. Phantom of the Opera. Fondest greetings to you all. It has come to my attention that my instructions to my managers at the Majestic Theater regarding the Broadway production of my legend are now widely known. I have indeed instructed that performances shall cease on February 18th. As I anticipated, there has been overwhelming demand for seats. Therefore, I strongly advise you to obtain tickets as soon as you are able, with the exception of Box 5, which is to be kept empty for me at all times. I have developed a particular fondness for New York City. So be vigilant. I shall not be far away. It is in your interests to comply with my advice. I remain your obedient servant. O.G.
They're going to Hackensack, New Jersey? That's crazy. They're going to Hartford, Connecticut? That's crazy.
So, sorry that clip was kind of buffering a little bit.
I think it's full on in the actual recording.
Okay, good. Isn't that sick?
That's really cool.
So again,
Ben Crawford, who is the Phantom right now, is the original actor's son.
Really?
Which is it's a cool story.
Oh, wow.
The original guy's name is something Crawford. I can't remember his name for the life of me.
Let me see how.
Please look it up. This is so
OG
embarrassing. It's Ben Crawford right now.
Phantom.
Dan Crawford? No.
Phantom OG. Uh-oh, that's weed. OG Phantom. Phantom OG. Who is the first Phantom of the Opera? Michael Crawford.
Michael Crawford. There we go. Yeah, so I've seen Ben Crawford twice, and he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's who was just doing that voiceover.
Yeah, I get to see him as well. Just like, like, there's two things here. One, we now know Phantom's going to either transfer off Broadway.
That was my chair. That was not a fart, just so everyone knows.
Liam, did you just fart?
Shut up.
Two, this is another example of Broadway shows using social media to their highest advantage. This is perfect. This is genius. This is all of this. I love. Isn't that like that? That lives up to the hype. Like, I know I hyped this video up, but it's like, that's sick. That's so cool. I watched this and was literally just like,
thank you for teasing me with this video for the last 50 minutes. That's really nice. It's
my
good.
Bad. But like,
no, it lived up to it. I like it.
So cool. Like, that's the way to announce that. I love that. I love that. But anyways, Phantom, we can get into we should have like this is my favorite segment, and from some podcast feedback I have is that the Broadway grosses are a lot of people's favorite segment of the GWLP. Mine is included. I have this great Excel spreadsheet which lets me really analyze all that comes with Broadway grosses. We should have like intro music, which is like Gavin and Liam's Broadway grossers. Yeah. I like something fun.
Man, I love that.
Yeah, I think it should be just that, just what I just did. Fast facts. We had a lot of shows this week on Broadway. 24, which is... Oh, the same as last week. What? Okay, whatever. 24 shows on Broadway this week. Music Man was not on a hiatus. Hell yeah. We had 5 shows, not have 8 performances. So every show had 8 performances except The Piano Lesson, Leopoldstadt, Death of a Salesman, Cost of Living in 1776. Just at a glance, you'll see that Death of a Salesman, their percentage of their gross is up about 350%. That's because they had one show last week and then had 6 this week. So yeah, they made a lot more money.
Of course.
Duh. So when I first looked at this, I was like, huh? That's why. Don't want to include any of these shows that didn't have 8 performances this week, who had like 1776 had 3 last week. Cost of Living had 6 last week. And then Leopoldstadt had 5 last week. But I don't really want to include these because none of them are playing a full 8. A lot of them, it's Piano Lessons first week. I just don't, for the champ and loser, I don't really want to put them in for this. Looking at the rest of the shows, I can kind of go Moulin Rouge lost money, which sucks. Not much for them, $23,000. But when they're grossing $1.3 million, they're all right.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
So what else lost money? The Music Man lost money. They lost 5%. Their grosses were down 5%. Again, nothing. $150,000 for a show that's grossing $3 million. Not worried about it. They had the highest average ticket though, still at $238. Their capacity was down 0.8%. Nothing. They went from 97 to 96%. Nothing. I don't give a damn.
Gavin, hit me with that highest ticket.
You want the highest ticket? It's not Music Man.
No, it's I know.
Funny Girl.
I know.
This girl's so funny, someone paid $599.
Oh, and that's before all the box office fees.
They paid $6,000 for that ticket. Amount of shit I've had added on to my tickets for box office fees for a $150 or $200 ticket. I can't imagine a $600 ticket.
They realistically paid another $75.
Yeah, because it's percentages. Oh, my God.
I'm going to assume that that's
horrific.
It's so bad.
People are not going to spend $600 on a seat by themselves.
No, yeah. Like,
so I'm assuming that's a little date right there. Bam, $1,200 to go see
the Funny
Girl.
The ticket for this show is $171. Someone paid $600.
Why? That must have been Jonathan Groff in the first row
opening
night. It
better have been Jonathan Groff. Yeah. No, honestly.
That better be some President Joe Biden with the entire presidential security staff.
Right. This better
sitting
have
in the
been
back
like,
row.
Like this better have been the ghost of Stephen Sondheim. Like, I don't care.
Rolling in his grave. Man,
anyways, they have a Funny Girl has a real strong case for champ this week. They grossed 44% more than last week, and were the champ in ticket sale difference. They sold 14% more tickets than last week, which is awesome. They went from 84% capacity to 98%, which is just great. Other shows at a glance here that have a case. It's Phantom. So
yeah, they're going to be on the up.
Phantom. This might be the last week that we might not give Phantom champ just because Funny Girl did do better than them. They went from selling 89% of their tickets to selling out, and they're going to now sell out for the rest of the run. If they don't, there should be some bet. If Phantom doesn't sell out one week and they pull, they have a full 8 performances. I don't know. I have to do something because it's not going to happen. Their grosses were up 25% and their ticket sales were up 11%. But again, they maxed those ticket sales, so they can't go up. But surprisingly, the average price of a ticket to Phantom. Oh my God, I've been burping so much. The average price of a ticket to Phantom has not changed very much over the past month. Like, it was like, what is it right now? Right now, it's just under $100. It's at $93. You look at 3 weeks ago, $92. The next week, $83. Okay, they're down a little bit. Phantom, $84. And now they're just back to where they were. So for them to now be selling out, but they're not jacking up the price of these tickets. They're not making people pay
because
a premium.
They've made so much money over the course of the run. They just want people to go see it.
Exactly. It's like
go,
it's,
I
it's
advise
kinda genius.
To go see, get tickets now.
It's like they're not they're not trying to just wring out this towel that is demand for Phantom in New York City and make as much money as they can. They're just I don't see this average ticket price changing. Maybe they'll sell a few more premium seats, but not
maybe
not the average Joe like you and I seeing this show.
I wish I could see it one more time, front row mezzanine.
Oh my gosh, I know.
But it's not going to happen because I've already seen it twice.
So our sellouts this week were Come From Away. They were also a sellout last week, and MJ again a consistent sellout. MJ also had the most consistent week over week this week, selling again full capacity. And their gross percentage was up 0.48%. Awesome. That equates to $8,362, which is
sweet.
Like, that's nothing. But Moulin Rouge being down, the Kite Runner also is down. The Kite Runner might be the loser this week, which sucks because they were the champ last week.
Man.
So Kite Runner was down 8% in ticket sales, rounding up to 8%. I'm sorry, in gross percentage. So their money was down 8% and their ticket sales were down 3%. Everyone else had a good week, and the shows that didn't have a good week, like A Strange Loop lost money, but like sold more seats. So like and they lost literally nothing. Music Man did lose money, but they're never going to be the loser. Moulin Rouge lost money, but it's not at the same capacity as Kite Runner. So I'm sorry, Kite Runner, but you're the loser this week. And I think Funny Girl might have it, unless you have any strong opinions here. Do you not have strong opinions?
No, I don't. Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, here sorry. I was just saying, I was going to give Funny Girl the champ unless you feel very strongly otherwise.
No, I don't feel strongly. They had the highest ticket price, and they're back to being in good business.
That's all thanks to one person. A few fast
Jared
facts.
Grind.
Exactly. Ramin Karimloo. A few fast
Raheem
facts.
Raheem
Karimloo. A few fast facts for Broadway as just in general this week. There were 11 more performances on Broadway this week. That was in part by the pickup of Piano Lesson and some of these plays picking up a few more performances. We sold 214,085 of the 231,312 available seats, which is 92% seats sold. Hell yeah, Broadway. I'll take that. 90% of seats sold any week is a...
it's not bad at all.
The average ticket price. So this is not the real average ticket price for shows on Broadway, but I basically took all of the average tickets for each show and averaged those numbers together, and that's $118. So cool. With someone
that's
paying,
not bad at all.
With someone paying
at all.
Almost six times that. I'll take it.
Nice.
So yeah. That's all for those gross them grosses. Wicked had a good week too. Take it. A Strange Loop. Love not seeing them struggle like we did before.
Yeah.
They're just,
I was really worried about them for a while. I really thought that they were gonna close.
If they can just chill in those low 90s of ticket sales, they went from 92.7 to 93.5 over this week. Like, yeah, sweet. They're not a very
We're getting a little bit back into a good season for Broadway, you know, like
we are, yeah, for sure. For sure. The fall is definitely a...
the fall is nice. It's like a little chilly. You can still do stuff.
Oh, but it's totally an indoors, let's go see a show type season.
Yeah.
But, you know, compared to pre-pandemic, we're not even close. But we're getting there. Broadway is getting there. Look at this 50-minute podcast. Damn.
I was about to say, I feel like we got to wrap it up for these people who have been listening.
Wow! I'm trying to keep it under 40, but I think... Sorry.
Well,
I got nothing else. I'm good to go.
Then I say we ended here, folks.
Hey, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah.
We hope you laughed and cried and got excited about Phantom Off-Broadway.
If you're upset about Gavin's opinions on Percy Jackson, please message us at Gavin with Liam on Instagram.
Please fight me on this because you're not right. This like, maybe you're 13.
I hate my dad!
I hate my dad!
Yeah.
Listen to it. You'll know what I mean. And go listen to Into the Woods. Go check out Beat It on TikTok. Whoa.
Sounds lovely.
I don't even know if you can. I don't know. Find that clip somewhere. But this has been another episode of the Gavin with Liam podcast. I'm Gavin.
And I'm Liam.
And we will see you
next time.
Next week. Bye, bye, bye.